Take me to the river. Drop me in the water. Take me to the river. Drop me in the water.
This little ground dog that you see running around is my little pal, Sunny. And this is our 4-year anniversary from the day I brought him home from a shelter in Yakima. And so we've spent the day together celebrating. And so he may join me up here. We'll see that's what this is all about, the little nest. So anyway, it's so nice to be here. And Mara, thank you so much for having me headline. So this first song is called Used Bike, and I've just started recording my 5th album, and this is going to be on that record. So lived in the cool hippity hop part of town. She bought a used bike and rode it around. Surrounded by trees planted in orderly rows, everyone who came here felt they'd been here before. She turned pebbles into diamonds and shoes into beer, glass into water, recovering tears. Pebbles into diamonds and shoes into beer, glass into water, recovering tears. She longed to understand the crossover between inside and outside. She met a man who mused, "I know what you're going through, 'cause you and I are a lot alike. Tell me, were your people pioneers of the written word, writing ladies' books with soft paper covers?" She smiled and said, "No matter the stories, hearts were involved with others." She turned pebbles into diamonds and shoes into mirror, glass into water, recovering tears. Pebbles into diamonds and shoes into mirror, glass into water, recovering tears. She stood up to the true blue test of love, remembering the now and forgetting the past from above. Floating around in the tops of the trees, lighting back down to me. Bought a used bike and rode it around Carnation. Okay, that's all you're thinking for me. It's still better than that. Thank you. And it took all day because of all the vast vista of Carnation that there is.
Did you want to do anything else between? Because I interrupted the beginning.
Yeah, let's keep this set going, yeah. Maybe check in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
There's a little speed up that we to do. So let us know when you need a break.
Okay, well, maybe between instrument changes. How about that?
Okay, you're in charge.
And I'd like to say you're welcome for all the mess of cables that end up here because of my personal hobby show of three instruments. This instrument is a 1950s tenor archtop guitar, and been become more and more something that I love to travel with and play with and write things on. So this is another one of my songs. This is from my fourth CD. This is called Memories Dusty Road. And this song came about from a room cleanup project. I don't know if any of you have any room in your house where it's like things go and you can't ever find them again, or you just close the door because you don't want to go in there. And I had one of those situations. I needed to kind of physically and psychically clean the room. And so out of the dust bunnies and junk that tumbled out of the room, this little song came tumbling too. This is called Memories Dusty Road. Walking down memory street, pictures of this and words of that, places and faces so long away, call me back to another day. I smile and cry and find every emotion in between. On memory's dusty road, heart pounding too. I remember the roller coaster ride as if it were yesterday. That dusty road walk together, lightning bolts of love and home, goodness in life, hardship too. Pets and class pictures, flowers pressed in books. Mom saved my artwork and report cards, a smiley face she drew in the margin, next to the teacher's remarks. Jean would do better if she applied herself and stop talking to her neighbor. It's truly a favorite piece in my collection. Yeah, save these things, these walks into the air of distant past. Just like my mama did before me, I'll take her a sentimental legacy. And all to remember. When I wrote that song, I never knew that that was going to be a funny line until the very first time I played it in front of an audience about the applying myself and not talking to my neighbor, and I realized everybody either went to the same school I did and had the same teacher, or we all got that report card at one time in our lives. How else am I going to get songs if I don't talk to people, right? Started recording my fifth album in a pretty cool studio in Seattle called Studio Litho, which is opened over 20 years ago by one of the members of Pearl Jam when they started off, and someone told them you need to have, you know, your own place to do things and have consistency. And anyway, I get to record my next album there, and it's very exciting. So this is one of the new songs. This is called Every Bite of That Sandwich. It's a funny title, but it basically refers to kind of enjoying the moments that we have in life and appreciating what we have, even the ones that you want to run screaming from, because they're all part of the makeup of the sandwich of life. So, here we go. We sit around like the days have no end, just like we did when we were little kids way back when. Dillying and dallying and carrying on in kind. Tomorrow was the furthest thing from our little carefree minds, but now we see the days flurry by. I used to love that when summer was on the rise, but the end of summer will, and the clock just slowed down. Alas, the school bus is already coming round. Days has got me asking why. I just want to slow it down, savor every sip of the ride. And as I ease my grip on the oars, just makes the trip sweeter to the other shore. And I know you've got my back, and you know I'll always have yours. You came first to show me the way, I came round to teach you how to be here. Now I'm dancing through the daisy patch of time. Warren Zevon said in his last interview, enjoy every bite of that sandwich. Thank you. For the skit that's coming up. So here goes. Ready?
Here
so
go.
Go.
And I will come back later.
Four score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Four score and 87 years. I'll be 48 on Monday. So I'm trying to think back, you know, it worked in time. About how long ago it is? I kind of know. I think we all kind of know. And what's neat about thinking about Lincoln and, of course, President's Day this month, February, it is February now, and Groundhog's Day, and all the other February birthdays. It's always a time to look ahead for me as being a birthday month and looking back. And we're fairly certain that my great-great-grandfather knew Abraham Lincoln. He owned a grocery store, not the same one from the IGA era, but previously a True Corner store, and it was in Paterson, Illinois. and I have several relatives there buried there from the Civil War. And we were definitely in that spot. And that was a crossroads when Lincoln used to go to Springfield in his early days of law practice there. And we often talked about stopping at Patterson. And that was the stopping place. So we're pretty sure that they knew each other. At least acquaintances, right? And when I read these words, they're kind of, I mean, everyone chuckles. They're so like, oh, man, four, what a crazy thing to write. But you remember them, don't you? And it's pretty powerful. You all know this story. Perhaps he wrote that on the back of an envelope. I'm sure he thought about it a long time before that, or had it turning in his head. In the speech before his, as you might have heard, through history class or just in the Civil War, a movie series or whatnot, lasted for hours. And I don't even know who gave it, frankly, off the top of my head. Lincoln's was nice and short. I would remember it. And it's just a nice reminder for me that every word matters. You know? And the humility that I think someone like Lincoln brought to the presidency. And of course, Lincoln is a legend for us. We don't know exactly what happened and exactly who he is. A lot of it's just that, a legend, a story. But it's quite remarkable, I think, to have a person gifted enough to understand how not to talk too long. The power of words. And to kind of have integrity to talk about things, and frankly, the courage to even say something like 67 years ago. Another person's birthday who's today is James Joyce, Irish writer. And one of the things, among the many things that Joyce said, but it was in a calendar that was given to me by my mom. She said, "Byron, you're a writer. Here's a calendar." It was all these writers, and it had things that writers are supposed to remember about other writers, and things that writers said that wrote. And Joyce put down, "The discovery comes in the writing." And I think that if you've written or created a song, written songs, done any kind of creation, done any sort of thing, writing on an envelope like Mr. Lincoln, you feel your way through it. And that's the magic of creativity, I think. You begin with a blank piece of paper, you know. You begin with a silence, and you end up with a song. It was wonderful to hear our singers tonight talk about some of the genesis moments of their songs. You remember that, don't you? When I got this piano, I wrote this song. Lincoln, I got this envelope, I wrote this speech. You remember those moments, and I think that they fall around us every day like seeds falling from the cottonwoods here in the valley, perhaps. And they're too innumerable to catch, but some of them you can grasp out of the air, and they do reach from the ground. There are parables that say things like that too, of course. But as a writer myself, as someone who, during the busy galaxy of days, tries to find moments of fertile ground, pieces of fertile ground, I think about that quite a bit. And I know I'm not going to catch every seed, but maybe you don't have to. You have to catch one or two, and they have to find that right place to grow. This is an old book, in fact, from my great-grandfather, William Hicks Garrison. He was a country doctor, and we have a lot of his autobiography. I should bring that sometime, because he talks about the mustard paste that he used to plaster on patients. It would heat them up, and they would forget about their other ailments and be cured. And he had this remarkable thing, of which I have a small jar, literally this big, which he called his pink oil. And it was, this is about 1900 or so, late 1800s. And it was an antiseptic, basically, that he had made, being a pharmacist, and you made your own drugs and filled your own prescriptions often in that time. And this was right down the road from Patterson, where Lincoln lived there in the Illinois River Country. And this pink oil was remarkable. It would just heal up your wounds, and things would not get infected. So tough not to do in those days. kind of far from the cities and the smaller towns. So it was really sought after. In fact, so sought after that when World War I came around and the United States got involved, he decided that he would donate it to the military, and it became the thing that the military used in Europe throughout all World War I, maybe up through the 30s, actually. Of course, he donated it and gave it to one of the pharmaceutical companies immediately, or the government did, and they made that. And we have the formula for it and everything. But it's pretty profound. Again, a moment where he talks about his autobiography, he came up with this idea and said, you know, we just need to help. And here we go. But there's a moment of seeing that need and making it. So I could go on and on about these things. There are a lot of other names in this older book published 100 years ago, that things that we don't remember. Like I was thinking about tonight, we do some famous quotations from Millard Fillmore or Zachary Taylor. Right? But we don't really know any. So we decided to scratch that. But I want to read the maybe the last paragraph of Lincoln's second inaugural address. Since we just heard a second inaugural address. And I'm sure Mr. Obama gave this one a read as well, but it's fascinating to hear these words again in our day and age. And that's what makes it great, of course, is that we can read our own experiences and lives into them and make them relevant. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne in battle, and for his widow and his orphans, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Pretty powerful. So here's Abraham Lincoln and all those born in February, frankly, his birthday month. And I've been thinking about Lincoln, And you know, another famous speech that he gave right after he left Springfield was a house divided speech. Do you know that? Heard of that one? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Of course, he was talking about the North and the South. And I imagine Lincoln kind of being just a divided person. If you see early photographs, he has no beard. Later, he has a beard. But it's a beard without a mustache. And then he had the North and the South, the Mason and the Dixon. He had, you know, Congress's House of Congress. He had the dome to put on the Capitol. He was dealing with many choices. And so, I think Lincoln, had he been here in the valley, and needed to know where to go to get his haircut. Not knowing. I think it's time for us to do a little makeover. Because it is Lincoln's birthday month, it's all the rage now, and I'm sure you're all caught up in line, probably have a reservation now at Valley Mullet Works to get your hair trimmed just like Lincoln. So today, and you can tell he's being a bit reluctant. Okay, well, way too much of me in that. Thanks for your endurance again. Gene, why don't you come on?
So this is the title track of my third CD, and I wrote the words of this on, probably wasn't an envelope, but it was a napkin on an airplane going to Austin. I like to write in pen on soft napkin type of surfaces. It's quiet, so I can think, and it bleeds nicely. It's, I don't know, there's something about it. So I've written things on coasters, and I have an old coaster, a beer coaster, that one of those that didn't happen to have anything written on both sides, and I wrote one of my first songs that's on my first album, which is actually on a download card back there, that I just recently kind of refound the the beer coaster that I wrote it on, and it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. It held up, so. Anyway, but this song is called Daisies and Fire. To write a cowgirl song, and this is one that I'm putting on the new album too. And I don't know if you're familiar with Dave Keenan, but he's one of the world finest, but he's definitely a Northwest Treasure banjo player, and another player that's going to grace the album. Dave is, as well as Ruthie Dornfeld, who's an incredible world-renowned fiddler. And so this song, you kind of have to picture those things on it, but just a good old-fashioned cowgirl song. There may even be some horse hooves. I'm doing that because it's like coconut, you know, things. But thank you, Sunny. Sunny, I meant like the O-N-N-Y kind, because Sunny is S-U-N-N-Y, my dog, you know. Anyway, I told you I was a dog, kind of. But it worked out well. All right. So this is, there's the real one. This is called Lonesome Bones. Three horses. Peter took in little doggy. Actually, now you finally just sat down on that sweater, and that's actually finally that you're not getting up and going. Here we are in this beautiful barn loft in Carnation, Washington. And we're all together. That was a little bit of instrumental part. Tour with me in a couple of months. I'm going for 3 weeks and I need some backup whistlers, so it'll be really good. So, yeah. I'll be hitting the West Coast. I'm booking my tour right now while I'm writing all these songs and while I'm recording this album. I don't know what the hell the heck's going on with me. I almost had the AG double hockey sticks for it. So. And now I don't know which water is mine, but I'm just going to... That's the one he drank out of, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not really, I'm so used to this. Seriously, it's like, you know. Oh. The grass is greener, I tell you. So one of Sonny's finer moments was at a house concert I was playing in Bellingham, my hometown. Yeah, you. Actually, you're all innocently downward dogging here, but... it was this beautiful, gorgeous Victorian, and it's this very reverent, wonderful moment. I'm playing this song, and Sonny's kind of meandering around, and he went off into one of the bedrooms and wandered back out into the middle of the front of the room with a pair of red underpants in his mouth. The beauty of the house concert. Thank you, Sonny. So that's how it is. So I'm going to play you a cover tune, and this is actually one that I'm putting on the album, too, because I've had so many people ask me to. And it's my version of a well-known song, but you might not recognize it. You'll know it, but you probably won't think you do at first, maybe. Anyway, here we go. Just a couple more songs. And what a wonderful evening this has been for me. I think probably everybody feels the giddiness in the room of how crazy these two are that started this. It's our eighth birthday, right? It's the eighth birthday, basically. And I'm so honored to have gotten to be a little part of that slice of our Valley history and our Northwest history. Everybody that knows I was playing this tonight, even though I don't see them here, some of them, were like, that is the coolest thing ever, playing in this barn. And, you know, anyway, so I'm just happy to have gotten to do this with you tonight. And so this next song I'm going to play on the uke is the second song I wrote on this, which is, I was commissioned to write a song for a short film by a local filmmaker. And it's a short comedy, but it's also kind of an empowerment story. And it's being shopped around to the different film festivals now, so I'm very excited about seeing what happens with that. But it's called, the song is called She Steps Lightly. She steps lightly into the world, starts her day as a quiet girl. She learns there's no need to hide away, no reason to keep locked inside. Go your own way, do what you do, believe in yourself, you're seeking the truth. You're beautiful and bright as the moon, and you found a way. Spoke for yourself, you stood for us all. There's beauty in that, even if you fall. The world's a better place for rooting for you. Go out and sing your own song. Go your own way, do what you do. Believe in yourself, you're finding the truth. You're beautiful and bright as the moon, and you found.
Touch my soul with the brush of your hand. And ooh, baby,
should be happy with the voice that we have. It's amazing. So thank you so much.
Fun watching Gene and other artists develop their repertoire. Byron, come on down. Yeah. So, and I guess Stacy. How does that song go that you finish your set off with, Kate? Yeah, let's do it. What? Let's do credits, and then I can see clearly now, just to wrap it up. You know, I'm reading this book called Imagine, and the cover looks like Imagine, three separate words, and there's a study on one page that I found very fascinating that asked people to imagine that they were there were two different groups. There was one group, and they were all college students, and the scientists took one group and said to them, imagine you're 7 years old, and you have the whole day free, sit and write for a couple hours, as if you're 7 years old, how would you spend your time in your room? And the other group, they said, you have all day, how would you spend your time? Please write that down. He didn't say, imagine you're 7 years old. And the differences were incredible, but then, get this, then they asked those two different groups to solve a couple problems that were serious real-life problems. And the group that had imagined that they were 7 years old for a couple hours first had the most amazing solutions. And the group that didn't imagine they were 7 years old were really stuck wondering what to do. So I think a lot of this craziness that we do is sort of bringing back our childhood a little bit. And the fact that you're all willing to sit and watch this happen is truly amazing. But perhaps there's something happening here. There's some ideas that are being created. So I hope you take some ideas with you and be a little crazy yourself. Okay. So give me a beat, you guys. We're going to list all the people who helped pull this show together. I would like to, first of all, thank everybody out here. We've got John Coates, podcaster, master podcaster. We've got people who are writers. We have the whole Allen family sitting here. They've got the mother and child business on Main Street. We have Jean Mann, who sang with her heart and soul this evening. And we have Kate Phillips, who sang with us this evening, and brought her friend and sat and shared her heart and soul. And a lot of compositions. That was great. We had the Chips Off the Street Dancers. Yay! Those people were Sophie and Ava Powell and Julia Bricks. Yeah. Rhoda Bestachek. She is in charge of the CD indoor monies and the lights. And we have Colleen Becker, who has done the food this evening. Yeah. And those brownies, by the way, when she walked in the door, they were still steaming. And all the artists were like, oh, I want one now. No, yeah, wait, oh, I want one now. So that, thank you for baking all those great cookies and everything too. She did all those slices, okay. George and Janice. Janice has been doing photography all evening. Thank you, Janice Van Dyke. And George Seckham. Boom, Seckham. So, but how do you say your last name? Seco. He also was up here strumming before the show, and it was beautiful music. Yeah, we've got Byron Ricks on the drum set currently. Okay, we've got, who am I missing? And there's someone who's not here. Denise Crutchfield has been helping with the web. Thank you, Denise. And Roger Thorson, a round of applause for Roger. He's the owner, of course, of this farm. He's the owner of this property. And Lincoln was represented by Todd Powell. I guess that's everybody. Oh, and Stacy Powell, she's been grooving on the bass. So
the first couple of songs are the bass.
that who you think I'm forgetting? Oh, I said John. But he was also thinking about Lincoln a little bit before the show. We thought that he might be Mr. Lincoln. But he's saving his Lincoln for another time for where the more thinking. So. There's John Kraft, of course, he helped build the floor. There's all these people here who helped.
There's
who am I forgetting?
Thomas Jefferson built the
Frezzel, otherwise known as Frezzy, the guinea pig.
Oh.
Dr. Fuzz. Yeah, he's being held right now, and if you want to actually see if he's real, you can go up and touch him.
He's real.
I think he's half porcupine.
He's like a little Pez dispenser.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all my, not troubles, obstacles. I can see all obstacles in my way. Let's just repeat those a couple times. You want to come up here and look at everything? And then we'll just kind of repeat those two over and over. And we'll just get a group. You can stand up if you want. You know. And then we'll all let you go. I know we locked you all in. I know you tried to get out, but we are now going to very soon unlock those doors and go home. Okay.